open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. It's good to be here. I was thinking a long time since I've been to the Vogue, really, on Tuesday night. But, yeah, it's good. Praise the Lord. Tina was mentioning in her testimony about how she doesn't mind learning from others. Well, if there's any budding builders here or, you know, maybe a handyman, I'm going to teach you how not to renovate a bathroom. Okay? And so we're going to put a slide up there and just going to explain a couple of things that happened. The theme for my talk is little things can make a big difference. And when you think about this, you know, sometimes just those small things can make big changes in our lives. And I'm going to go through a number of stories in the Old Testament here. I'm not sure how many I'm going to get to, but now this is how not to do a presentation. You can hardly see it, but that's our bathroom. And if you can look closely, you'll see that some tiles are a different colour than the other. You probably can't see that, but they're different colours. So what actually happened was in our bathroom, being smart, I thought there was some grout missing in the tiles. So what I decided to do was to take the rest of the grout out and then reseal it. That sounds quite simple, but it became quite difficult. And so I got a grinder and literally with the thinnest blade I could get to try to get the grout out, and the grinder dropped a bit, which took out the bottom of a tile. So therefore as time went on, we got some tilers out and they said, you need to take that tile out. So I took that tile out and I had some spare tiles there. So what happened was basically I got these spare tiles, and as soon as I tried to take one tile out, by the time the day finished, I had five tiles out, because one led to another, which led to another, and I got all these chips and things started to go desperately wrong. And from there, it got worse. I got a tiler to come, and we had some spare tiles there. So I thought, no worries, we'll get these spare tiles there from when the house was built. It's only 11 years old, so we got him to put those tiles in. But the problem was, those tiles were a slightly different shade than the rest of them. So when you come into our bathroom then, there was different coloured tiles in different places. So it got worse. So what happened was I ended up having to take the tiles off, but can we have the next slide? I didn't realise you couldn't see them at all, but I don't know if you can see that. All right, so if you have a look closely, what had happened was water was leaking in behind the tiles and destroying the timber. So when we took the tiles off, next slide, we had to keep going. Next, we've got the whole lot of the walls off, and we've got a full renovation of the bathroom going on now. So from me just trying to get a little bit of grout out, we've got a lot of money down the track and a lot of problems. And as I said, small, you know, little things can make a big difference. And so in my life, that's where the theme of this talk comes from. The next slide. And so we had to redo the whole bathroom. So I suppose when you look at this and you look into the Bible, and, you know, people's lives can be like that. There's a couple of stories in the Old Testament, and a man we know about well, a man by the name of Lot. And Lot, of course, Abraham had his brother had a son, and that was Lot. And it doesn't really say what happened to his brother. Maybe he was killed or whatever, but Abraham looked after Lot. And he tried to teach him really in the ways of the Lord. It was obvious, and there became a falling out with him and the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham, which I'm not going to go into the whole story, but in Genesis chapter 13, whereas Lot had been encouraged really not to go to this particular place and to follow Abraham's example. But sometimes when people are a little bit out of sorts, what they tend to do is go where they shouldn't go or do things they shouldn't do. And we read here in Genesis 13, verse 12, Abram, he was at this stage, he wasn't Abraham, dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And this was really, like my bathroom, the beginning of the downfall of Lot. And things went wrong from here. And if we, you know, in verse 13 it says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." So what had happened was Lot had pitched his tent to start with towards this place, and as I said, things went downhill from there. And we read in the same chapter in verse 18, it says, "Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord." So one of these men, as I said, Lot, he pitched his tent there towards Sodom. And, you know, an exceeding sinful city. But Abram, who was an example, he built his altar to the Lord. And really, that's what we try to do, isn't it? Rather than pitch towards the world and the things that are in the world, we seek our God. We seek the Holy Spirit. We seek the Lord. And he blesses our lives. And I'm not going to go through this whole story here, but what ended up happening was Lot ended up dwelling in Sodom and Gomorrah there, and he was encouraged to leave there. But before that, we read in here in chapter 14, verse 1, "And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedor Lama," why don't they just have simple names, honestly? "King of Elam and Tidal king of nations, that these made war with Bera king of Sodom and with Bersha king of Gomorrah, Shinar king of Admah and Shember king of Zeboam." So we're not going to go into it all, but basically they made war, and what ended up happening was later on, there was a great war between these, and the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah got involved, and they were captured. And what it came to pass that all those in Sodom and Gomorrah were captured, and Lot was captured, and his people, and everything he had was taken, and everything went downhill from his decision to pitch towards Sodom. And like I said, it's a bit like my bathroom. It began with one little thing and things deteriorated. And so in the Lord, we're encouraged, of course, rather than go towards the world, but of course to go towards the things of God. But and it's amazing with Abram, because what he did was he got 318 of his own men, and he pursued after them and got everything back for Lot and everything for him. And yet Lot still went back to Sodom and Gomorrah. You would think he would be aware and think, ever since I've pitched towards this place, I should look at Abram, who's brought me up and shown me this example and shown me what I should do. He should have kept following him. But of course, he continued on that same merry way. And as time went on, Abram was an amazing guy, really, as far as how he loved Lot. And he heard through the Lord that they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he inquired of the Lord, "Look, Lord, if there's 50 righteous there, will you save the place, and 40 and 20 and 10? And, you know, and for Lot's sake, you know, God was there and was prepared to save the place. And in the end, he sent angels to deliver Lot and his family. But one thing they were told, and we're just going to read this in chapter 19, in verse 17, "And it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad," this is the angels had brought them forth, "he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee." So all they were told is by the angels, escape for your life, go for it, but don't look behind you. And what happened? You know, just a slight thing, a little thing that Lot's wife did, she looked back, and guess what happened? She became a pillar of salt. And you look at this whole story, and right the way along, things just deteriorated. It got worse and worse and worse because of the simple fact, from one little situation, it was destroyed. My bathroom was destroyed. Every aspect of it, to the point the tiler come in, and when we were going to get it all retiled and everything, he looked at the roof, the ceiling. There was nothing wrong with the ceiling. And he said, he's a really good tiler, but he said, when I work out the tiles, they're not quite going to fit in, and I want to take the ceiling out as well. So he took the ceiling out as well. So the whole thing was totally demolished. There was nothing left whatsoever. And that's what happened here. There was nothing left whatsoever. You know, even when Lot left there, we're not going to go into it, but his two daughters still did the wrong thing. So his whole family was destroyed. His wife became a pillar of salt. Everything went wrong from that one little scenario. And like I said, little things can make a big difference. And it's an encouragement to us, of course, to make sure we don't do those little things, that we keep doing the little things that are going to build unto greater things. I've just got a quote here. It says, small changes eventually add up to huge results. So that's what we, of course, desire to have in our lives. Now, I'm just going to go to another story. I didn't set a timer, so you have to tell me. Sorry. Do you have a timer? No. Okay. So we'll just go to Numbers chapter 22. Now, this is a situation where the children of Israel had this man by the name of Balak, who he says he was the son of Zippor, but what had happened was he became very distressed because the children of Israel had become so abundant, there were so many of them, that he was worried they're going to take over the whole land. So he was plotting a way of bringing down a man by the name of Balaam and how to bring him into the fray there, so he was able to curse the people of God. And he came, this man came to Balaam and said, look, curse me these people. And to him, he thought, if I can get him to do this, then what I'll be able to do is destroy all the people of Israel. But of course, you know, the thing about Balaam was he went unto the Lord and asked the Lord, but he didn't really want to do the right thing. He wanted to do things his own way. And it seems a small thing in one sense that he wanted to do it his own way, but if he had have done it his own way, he would have brought the whole of Israel to destruction. And, you know, when we look at this, we'll see in the verse 5 we'll start. It says, he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river, river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them. I will just continue on to verse 12. And so he inquired of the Lord, and says, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. So he was really trying to, as I said, he was trying to get them to destroy the people of Israel there. And, you know, he went to the Lord, and the Lord said, you know, don't go. But he still wanted to go. It was just a little thing, but he just wanted to do it his own way. And it would have been the destruction of him. And we always hear about the story, of course, where, you know, the ass spoke to Balaam, and, of course, he got up in early in the morning, Balaam there, and it says how he saddled his ass and he was going to do the wrong thing, but God was gracious unto him and, you know, he made the donkey to speak unto him. And we read here in verse 20, and God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. So he's a bit dumb, let's be honest. You know, he's trying to destroy his life, and God's trying to bless his life. A little bit like the same as, you know, with Lot. But, you know, I've always heard about Balaam and how, you know, he didn't listen and he went the wrong way and all that type of thing. But this was a turning point for him. It wasn't a small thing, but it was a huge thing. But it became a turning point for his whole life, and to the point where we go on and read a couple of chapters over, 23, and in verse 10, it says, who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place from whence thou mayest see them. So even still, he was trying to influence him in a different way there. But here, Balak's saying, look, I don't care. I'm prepared to die for what the Lord wants me to do now. I'm prepared to do whatever it takes. So his whole attitude had changed, and his vision had changed from that time on. In verse 15, it says of chapter 24, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. So his eyes were open now. Things had changed for him. Once he'd started looking to God and stopped trying to do things his own way, God was blessing him. And in verse 16, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And, you know, that appears to be a prophecy of Jesus Christ, but he's totally changed there. His eyes are open. He's got a vision now, and he understands. He's got this wisdom, and he says, I shall see him. A little bit like Job there, who says, you know, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him face to face. And because he turned, even though God had used a situation there that we hadn't come across before, maybe we get a little situation in our life where God's trying to direct us, and we need to listen, we need to take heed, we need to be able, if he's got the sword there up and he's saying, don't go this way, we don't go that way. All the people said, you know, we keep following the Lord, and he's going to bless us. So we read about two men here, many others we could read about, but, you know, two men, one went one way when he was encouraged to by the Lord and through the testimony and through the example, and another man who went the other way. Who do we want to be, of course? We want to be those that when the little things that God shows us, we respond to them, and he blesses our life. He looks after us and cares for us. We won't go too long. We'll go to James chapter 3, and in verse 2 it says, from many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Just as a matter of interest, who's ridden a horse? Who's fallen off one? Yeah, they don't actually do what you want them to. I know, when I was younger, I used to ride motorbikes, and you control them. But when I was young in the Lord, there was a sister in the Lord, and she had a horse, and she said, do you want to come for a ride on my horse? And I thought, oh, that sounds good. So I go up there and she tells me what to do, and I get on this horse and it knows that I've got no idea what I'm doing, and it just takes off and bolts, goes right up to this fence and just throws me off on the other side. That's my experience with horses. Better off with a motorbike. But you're meant to use the bit to control them, apparently. I had no control whatsoever. And now this here is talking about, you know, it goes on to talk about our tongue being a little member and about how we need to control that. But we actually need to be prepared to control it, don't we? It's like, you know, that sister, she explained to me what you do. I don't know, I don't remember explaining it, but all I know is that that horse knew to bolt and throw me off. And, you know, with this situation here, you know, we've got to let the Lord direct our life in every aspect, even to the point of the things we say, the things that come out of our mouth. And we read in verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." So, and it goes on to explain about every animal can be controlled, everything can be controlled, but the tongue is such a little member and it can make a big difference. And it does. You know, sometimes we say things, sometimes, you know, we don't mean to, but sometimes we, you know, open our mouths and we think, I wish I could take that back. You know, if I could only take that back. You know, maybe it's we say it to a friend, you know, our husband, our wife, our children, you know, whoever. But, you know, the little things can make a big difference. And I was going to go through another story, you know, the story probably a lot of us know, where there's a war between Ephraim and Manasseh, and Jephthah was the judge of Israel at the time. And what happened was, you know, when they were trying to destroy the enemy, they got the Ephraimites to be able to say Shibboleth or Sibboleth. And if they said it wrong, they were killed. And, you know, they were destroyed. And there's a number of examples. You know, we read about Lot. It was the things he did, the places he went. We read, of course, about Balaam there to start with. It was him listening to what other people were saying. And now we're reading, of course, you know, we didn't go into it, but for the sake of time, Sibboleth and Shibboleth with Ephraim and Manasseh, the way they think, the things they said, little things can make a big difference. And the Lord wants us, of course, you know, to be able to pray about these things. You know, the Bible talks about, of course, when Jesus Christ returns, you know, we're going to stand with him. We're going to be with him. It talks about those who haven't got the print of this world in their hand or their feet. It's in the book of Revelations. I should have read it up. But, you know, it's the things we do, the things we're involved in that are going to make sure that we stay pure. The Bible says little leaven leavens the whole lump. It only takes that little bit, and we want to keep making sure that we're pure, because the Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And all the people said.